Our messenger of God's word to us this morning is Dr. Stephen Bramer, department chair and professor of my department, the Bible Exposition Department. Dr. Stephen Bramer has a special interest in both Israel and Jordan and traveled to these countries three times each during his sabbatical. He serves as an adjunct professor at the Jordan Evangelical Theological Seminary, the Word of Life Bible College in Hungary, and Montana Wilderness School of the Bible. In addition to serving here at DTS, Stephen also ministers as teaching pastor at Waterbrook Bible Fellowship in Wiley, Texas, a church he helped plant 10 years ago. Stephen and Sharon celebrate their 39th wedding anniversary this year and are the grateful parents of three children and proud grandparents of seven grandchildren. Stephen loves the written word and the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen, please come and share your word, his word.
I'm excited to be able to share with you the word of God today. I was tempted to use this chapel period to talk about one of the minor prophets, since I'm teaching prophets and I'm behind in my schedule, but I've resisted that temptation to double book on this particular occasion. It's been Father's Day this past Sunday, and it was a great day for me as a father. Two of my children were over with their grandchildren. My third child is up in Vancouver, British Columbia, serving the Lord up there. And it was a great day. I got some gifts and a card, and then it came time for dinner, and my kids asked me what I was going to do for dinner. When they asked me what I'm going to do, I realized they're not about to pay for this dinner that we're about to have. So we had some wonderful Italian food, which cost me on my credit card a little bit of money. I mean, it's Father's Day. And on Father's Day, you get to act as a father. I've got a single son, Joshua, who's a student here at DTS, and I brought back for his two little girls a Father's Day card from Israel. We just returned to Israel, and written in Hebrew to Abba on the card. So his two little girls gave him this Father's Day card in Hebrew. Father's Day is a great day. And today, I'd like to speak on Don't Worry, It's Father's Day. And if you'd turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and we were just up there on that hillside that the tradition says is a Sermon on the Mount hillside, the Beatitudes, Mount Beatitudes. And while we were up there, we were reading some of this material. And it occurred to me that in this passage we're about to read that the Father is mentioned twice. The Father and his care for us. Don't worry, it's Father's Day. It's a heavenly Father's Day, and he takes care of us. So in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Why don't we as believers in Jesus Christ need to worry? Number one, because you're very, very valuable to God. Sometimes we don't realize that, but we're valuable to God. We're so valuable that he sent his son to die for us, but we're valuable. Just take a look at nature, how God takes care of nature. Are you not more valuable than these things? So you don't need to worry. Your heavenly Father loves you and cares for you. My kids were not worried about coming over to my place on Sunday that they may not eat. I may not have an awful lot of money, but when they show up and they're in need, I am there for them. I'm going to take care of them. Your heavenly Father loves you more than I love my kids. Don't worry, because, verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life, or a single cubit to his height? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You don't need to worry, because worrying doesn't help. Worrying doesn't help. Now, I know that there's some people in our churches who think worrying does help. I've had a lady say to me, look, I worried about many things and none of them came true. So I'm sure that my worrying doesn't help. I remember a number of years ago when I had been invited to come down and teach at Dallas Theological Seminary. I was trying to sell my house in Cairnport, Saskatchewan. Cairnport is way up north of Montana, North Dakota. It was February. It was about a minus 40 degrees Celsius, Fahrenheit, same thing. It was cold. No one was out house hunting. I could not sell the house that I had built with my own hands, 12-inch thick walls, styrofoam underneath the floor, triple glazed windows, wonderful house. No one was buying, middle of February. And my 13-year-old daughter, Sarah, came up and asked me for some money. And a little girl should know they shouldn't ask their dad for money when they can't sell their house. And I responded in a negative way about expecting me to give her money, and I couldn't sell my house, and I didn't know if we'd ever sell the house, and I didn't know if we would go to Dallas. And I looked at my daughter, Sarah, and she had a tear in her eye. And I realized I had spoken unbiblically, and I had spoken harshly to her. And I knew I should apologize, but sometimes dads are a little stubborn, and kids need to learn that life isn't fair and life is rough, and so I justified it. But a half an hour later, Sarah called up from the front door to me. She said, Dad, I've left a note in my bed for you, and she slammed the front door, and out she went. And I went down to get her note, and this is what she wrote. Dear Dad, I'm sorry that you're discouraged. It doesn't seem fair when you've done everything you can and God still doesn't seem to come through for you. But he will, and you can't stop believing that because you're the one who taught me that. You know the Bible better than I do, but right now I like the verse about the lilies of the field and stuff. I'm not sure what version and stuff is in there, but lilies of the field and stuff. We're more important to God than flowers. Why would he not supply what we need? I have faith that you will come through for me. Don't you think that your father, capital F, and my father, capital F, is even more reliable? Love always, Sarah. And I stood in Sarah's bedroom with tears streaming down my face, with this little girl who didn't have any degrees from seminary, wasn't working on a PhD, but knew that she was valuable to God and knew that worrying wouldn't help because God takes care of his people. He takes care of flowers. In most of my Bibles, I have little pieces of flowers I've picked up from the Mount of Beatitudes, and I stick them in my Bible, and they fall out, and I get more, and I stick them in my Bible because as these fall out, as I flip through my Bible, I'm reminded we're valuable to God. Worrying doesn't help at all. We've got a heavenly Father who loves us and will care for us. He goes on here in verse 31 and 32. He says, verse 30, if God clothes the field, verse 31, therefore do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? The very end of verse 30, O you of little faith. See, when we worry, we really demonstrate how small our faith in God is. We really reveal to ourselves and to daughters and other people how big we think God is. So don't worry. You're valuable to God. Don't worry because worrying doesn't help. Don't worry because it just reveals just how little you know about God. And when we worry, we need to get back to the Word. And then worrying shows what you're really concerned about, often what the unbeliever is concerned about. Therefore, don't be anxious, verse 31, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You see, we live in a culture, most of us here in North America, that says that what we eat and what we drink and what we wear is extremely, extremely, extremely important and actually shows who we are. And he comes along and says, look, that's what pagans think. That's what the unbelieving world thinks, that who they are is how they're clothed and what lifestyle they can have. And he said, what you need to understand is you have a heavenly Father. You have a heavenly Father. Don't worry, it's Father's Day. But seek first, verse 33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. When you worry, you take on God's responsibility. God says, I'll take care of this. I'll take care of it. You spend your time seeking what's important to me. Seek my kingdom. Seek what is important to me, and I will take care of these other things that you need. The solution to worrying is not to say, don't worry. The real solution is to say, I'm going to go after what is important to the Lord God. I'm going to seek first his kingdom. When you worry, you take on responsibilities that God never intended you to have. Now, there are some responsibilities we do have, and we are to be concerned about those. But our ultimate supply is from the Lord, day by day, and with each passing moment. Strength I find to meet my trials here. He's the God of provision. He's the God of provision. And finally, verse 34, therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. When we worry about the future, we're asking God to give us grace today for what might happen in the future. And he says, listen, I give you grace for the place and mercy in the moment. I don't always give that ahead of time. So when you begin to worry about the what ifs, you're beginning to worry about things that I have not yet provided for you. Don't do that. Live today trusting that I will supply you today. When I pray the Lord's Prayer, I don't pray, give us this day our daily bread. I say, Lord, could you give me this year's bread up front? And then I won't worry about anything for the next year. And I'll trust you. But when we ask the Lord for our daily bread, we ask him for strength. We ask him for provision for the moment. And he gives it to us in the moment. Many of you are preparing to go out into ministry. Thank you, pastors who are here from around the world. Thank you for serving the Lord. And I'm not suggesting in this message here that we just sit back and that we have all that we ever wanted. But I do know that if any one of my children was truly in need, I'd be there for them. Now, sometimes their needs are a little bit different than what I believe their needs are. And in fact, sometimes I don't give them what they need just immediately so that they learn to trust their heavenly Father, not just their earthly Father. But I would never see my children go hungry. You are valuable to God. He doesn't want you spending your time worrying. He wants you spending your time seeking his kingdom. And he'll take care of you. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word that reminds us that we have a heavenly Father who cares for us. Thank you for evidencing that care for us in sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the testimonies that all of us have of how you have provided for us in various times. But Father, we come to you again asking you to supply what we need and to keep us focused on the responsibilities you've given to us, trusting you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.